Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out of pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
In a city where chaos rules, only one man can save humanity from total destruction. Woo-hoo! It's up to Homer Simpson and family to save the world from a diabolical plot as they run and drive to unravel the conspiracy.
Black Finch!
Critics call it the best Simpsons game ever.
Get the Lord, dude.
The Simpsons Hit and Run, rated T for Teen.
I am evil Homer.
Oh. I am evil Homer. I love this.
It's a great ad, dude. Those were the days. Greetings and welcome to Play Retro. It is Play Retro. I'm one of your hosts, Scott Johnson, and there are half-truths. There are full truths in life. For example, The Simpsons Road Rage is a video game, but the other half of that truth is that it's a bad video game. Hit and Run, on the other hand, now that's a video game. Time to top off the gas tanks in your PS2, GameCube, Xbox, and play one of the greatest games of that generation. Hit and Run, more like Hit and Stun, or Hit and Fun, or Hit and One!
Why don't you tell us what you really think, Mr. Johnson? And I'm your other host, Brian Dunaway, and I'm in my Canyonero F-Series. Hitting the road rage button as hard as I can, as hard as my blue-haired Bart mama. And she's just looking for a reason to carjack the Plow King for what he did. You know what you did. And run Smithers off the road before he makes it to the Sega power plant and steals the plans to Crazy Taxi. Doe! Mm. I say doe.
Yeah, you said doe. Doe? It was almost like a question. It was like a question the way you did it.
Oh, wait, well, sorry. Yeah, doe?
I like it. I like it. Never change. Hey, everybody. It's a little bit of a weird day. We're recording the show. It's actually the 16th of September. It is a Saturday. And we don't normally do that, but we had a lightning strike on Wednesday that knocked my power out for a chunk of time.
And right as the show is starting.
Yeah. And the show is literally about to start. Notes are done. Files are ready. Everything's hooked up and going. I'm about to hit go live. Brian's in his car rushing home.
I got my sprinkled donuts. It's all kicking.
It's right? All fine. It's, now. Everything's now everything's fine because we're here and we're doing a show. It's just a little late. So apologies for that.
I would say we're more like Play Retro Wizards, and we arrive precisely when we plan to.
Or we're early, if you want to look at it in one way.
No, we're definitely late. Forget it.
It's a good point. Right. Okay, a couple things before we get started. I played more of that Pac-Man remake.
Oh, yes.
That game is really good. I don't know if it's still on sale. I think it's probably not, but it went down to like $17 or something when I picked it up.
Holy Moses.
And it's great. It's the PS1 game that got remade. And it holds the hell up. I mean, if you like 3D platformers, like it is definitely one of those, right? We're not changing the world here. But they do some 2.5D sequence stuff that is pretty interesting. Sometimes the game really opens up and you're like on a big old Pac-Man board trying to kill ghosts. And it just kind of does some unique things that no other game at that time really was doing. And I don't think enough people gave it enough love back then. I mean, it's beloved by those who liked it, but it's a really good remake of that game. So just another big thumb way up for that remake. And I cannot remember
for what's the noise he makes?
Pac-Man Adventure. Was it called Pac-Man Adventure?
Pac-Man Adventure? I like the Ghostly Tales thing. Is that on the list for people liking things?
I don't know. Is it?
Did you remember that Pac-Man Ghostly? I think this was called Ghostly Adventures. You look that thing up. I'm going to look at my thing. Because there's just not enough Pac-Man. And I really want that Pac-Man book that's on Amazon that every time I pass
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I want that too. I want that.
It's like this nice, and now it's in all my ads, but it's this real nice retrospective look at
it's
Pac-Man.
It's Pac-Man Birth of an Icon. That's the one, right?
That's Birth of an Icon? It. Yes, yeah. Yes.
This is well reviewed. It came out in 2021. It's relatively new.
Yes.
Yeah, I want to read this. There's also a puzzle book of Pac-Man puzzles.
Now, why would I want to do that?
I'd rather die. I'd rather die and not doing that. Yeah, this hardcrawler.
Only if they were. Yeah, so I played this game called Pac-Man and the Ghostly Adventures. It was on Steam. It was also a series if you never saw it. Man, it's on everything. Peacock, Tubi. I guess I need to go back and watch and watch the thing, I guess. But the game was pretty fun.
Mm-hmm.
That it was on Steam. I think I picked it up for, I can't remember, like $20 or something. But it was a lot of fun.
What yeah. Do we need more Pac-Man is the point. That's your whole point. That's my point.
Yeah, my whole point is my life could be more Pac-Man. Matter of fact, why don't I own a Pac-Man shirt?
Yeah, what's your deal? What's my deal?
Do you own a Pac-Man shirt?
I'm going to make my own. That's what I'm going to do.
You're going to... Now, how are you going to make your own? You're going to do a Forrest Gump and you're going to get in some mud and you're going to wipe your face off. And
no, I'm going to design one. I'll do a one-off with some t-shirt company.
Okay.
And just make one, or maybe I'll make two and make Brian one. Yeah. We'll have you one. Give you one.
I'm liking this idea,
but you wear extra tiny, small little boy shirts now. Cause you're so skinny. Right.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Shirts. Yeah, that's tiny boy shirts. I have to shop in the tiny boy shirt section. No, I wear a medium.
That's not
human,
bad. No, that's good. Medium. Man. I would love to wear a medium. Best I'll ever do, even at the skinniest I am, is an extra large because of length. Because I got a height problem. Not a problem. True. But I'm tall.
It's not a problem. Yeah.
But yeah,
I am
right
average
now,
height, Scott.
X and
average.
Double X are my jam. I think what I'll do, maybe I'll make it a goal. I'll make a Pac-Man shirt at just XL. that'll get me going, you know, to eat less, even though I'm wearing a picture of a creature who eats more.
It's always a good idea. There's always success when you base your t-shirt purchasing around the weight you hope you'll be when you get the shirt. There's always success when you do that.
I've never heard of anyone falling off that wagon. Works every damn time.
Every time. Nope. Then you have like everybody else, you have like a whole drawer full of shirts that are too small. It's like, I can't get rid of them.
Yep.
What if I lose weight?
Put them on a dog or something, you know?
Yeah, put them on a dog. Good plan.
That's the answer. Also, I played more of that Xenotilt pinball game.
Oh, yeah.
I am absolutely enthralled with that. And I know it's a brand new game, but this thing is so steeped in retro roots. It is just like these old pinball games that were so much fun back in the day. And particularly Genesis and TurboGrafx pinball games.
This is so good. Yeah.
And it's fast and furious and fun. And I'm competing with scores with some of our listeners. They're like letting me know via Discord, hey, I got ahead of your high score, and it makes me want to go back in and do it again. I haven't felt that kind of old school score fight in a long time.
Right. Now, so that doesn't feel like you said it in a way that makes me think they were just casually mentioning it, but I'm sure they came through a lot more passive aggressive than that.
Was that
the message?
Yeah.
Oh, I might have increased upon your score. I don't think that's what they said. What did they really say? Like, suck it, Johnson.
I might be kicking your ass.
I might be kicking. That's the smack talk I'm looking for.
Yeah, it's good though. So if you're like, Scott, I've heard you say this now twice. I'm curious. Good. Go to Steam and buy it or wherever you can get it.
Yeah, it's in early access. I put it on my
list. I thought it was on full release. No, I thought it was
August. It's still early access. But it was released in early access. You can purchase it on August the 18th is when it came out officially.
Oh, it is an early access. I had no idea. It feels done. I don't know why this is early access. It feels finished.
Yeah.
Finished.
Or you can get the bundle for $31.49 and you can pick up their Demon's Tilt. We talked about all of those.
Also great.
Last week in our pinball.
Yeah, I already own that one and it's fantastic as well. I think this one beat it. This one is, they learned a bunch of lessons. And this may sound crazy because the whole point of this game is a crazy fast gameplay loop.
Right.
But Demon's Tilt was even more that way. And if anything, it was a little too fast, a little too much blur going on where you're like, where's the ball? this game is slowed it in a way that's not like slower gameplay. They just made it a little more tactical. I think it's awesome. Really, really
that's
big
awesome.
Fan.
That's great.
Yeah. They got a whole perk system and it's a great game.
I like the perks.
Anyway, go pick that up if you want to play some pinball. Brian, you did a thing. You did some surgery. All right.
I did some surgery. I took my Steam Deck, which I haven't been using a lot lately for whatever reason. But then we went and we're going to play some Simpsons games. And that's beyond the capabilities of our AmberNick RG35XX. They really only go up to about PS1 and only kind of sort of there. So I said, I better get my Steam Deck out because I want to play it on the GameCube. Yeah. I want to play these Simpsons games on the GameCube versions, the one that I was familiar with.
Yeah.
So I did it. I got my Steam Deck out, but I remembered that I had installed Baldur's Gate 3.
Oh.
And since I only have the 256 gigabyte, I put megabyte in the notes, gigabyte Steam Deck, because I got the middle version, the middle one.
Right.
And it was full. And I was like, well, shoot, I'm not going to be able to put nothing on this thing. So I said, you know what? It's time to do that upgrade I've been talking about. Make it a little faster hard drive. Get a little more space. I ordered the 1 terabyte since the last time we talked. Got it in. Threw that into the Steam Deck. Fairly easy. Just a couple of screws, maybe 6 screws in the back. Pull that off. Mine is the older model motherboard. So I got an older model motherboard. It's hard to say. I had to take a heat shield off. No big deal. I had to take a heat shield off on the drive. I read all the stuff, watched a YouTube video before I did this. I don't want to mess this up. I do not want to call the Steam support and go, help. So I read everything. So I installed it, closed it up. Perfect. Recognized the 1 terabyte. Sweet. So I was playing some stuff and it felt slow. Something wasn't right. And it would run for a few minutes like it was supposed to. And then it would just slow down. I'm like, what is going on?
Yeah.
And so I did some reading. And said there's a 400 megahertz CPU lock thing that can happen sometimes. I'm like, oh, no. And it's like, and some people are like, I didn't do nothing and I had to send mine back. This is a common problem. It's like, oh, shoot. And so anyway, I got to looking and some people were saying, oh, did you pinch your fan cable? And I'm like, no, I didn't pinch my fan cable because I read that before I did this. And I was careful. I used my tweezers and I carefully moved it out of the heat shield place because I didn't want to mess with it because I didn't want to run into any problems.
Yeah.
Guess what? The cable was loose and it wasn't loose. Let me take it back. It wasn't loose. I took my magnifying lighted glass and I got up on that thing. The fan that hooks up is a hot mess. I had no wonder they're getting these things back. Everything else about the Steam Deck is beautiful, gorgeous, such a high quality piece of thing. But that little cable port right there, that's trash. That thing was a hot mess. And I just gently moved all the cables and straightened them all out. Like I said, I was super careful with it and got everything back together. Runs perfect. That's right. Mm. I played all my games this past week on the Steam Deck. And I got the Emu Deck reinstalled because when you install this thing, you have to
you gotta wipe that whole thing. Yeah.
You gotta wipe it all. I'll tell you, the first time I did the Emu Deck, I had no clue what I was doing. This time I got everything set up like I wanted. I got the parsers set up like I wanted. The game show up properly in my Steam Deck interface now. So when I was looking at the GameCube versus the PlayStation artwork, thumbnail artwork, it was all there. It's beautiful. It's gorgeous. Emu Deck on the Steam Deck is fantastic. If you're going to upgrade your hard drive, be careful of that fan.
Yeah.
But that's what I did this week. And it was, and now I've got Baldur's Gate 3. The Simpsons. I already downloaded next week's game onto the Steam Deck, even though I didn't have to. It's a DOS game, spoiler. And there you go. That's what I've been doing this week.
Nice. You're always good at this sort of teardown stuff. I hate doing those things, but I had a similar experience with the EMU deck when my stick broke. Remember that stick breaking?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, your stick. Yeah.
So I sent that in. They did the fixing, but when it came back, everything's wiped. So I had to redo it. And my second install of EMU deck turned out to be so much better than the first time.
Yes.
I don't know if it's just because I paid better attention or something, but
it was a little bit of both for me. The first time I installed it, it was the day before they had a major release for Emu Deck. So I had installed it and I was having all these weird problems. And so I was getting very frustrated. And then I went and looked and they had released the next version of Emu Deck like the very next day. I was like, are you kidding me? Mm-hmm. And so I wiped what I had and reinstalled it the second time, and it was much better. But I just did not have the desire to fiddle with it at that point because I was just so frustrated with the first experience. And this time around, I was just like, "Oh, cool! We're just going to do it. I'm just going to do it and have fun with it.
Do it and have fun with it. That's our life advice. Do it and have fun with it.
do it and have fun with it, or just don't. That's what I tell my kids all the time.
Or don't.
We'll be playing some video games and they get mad and I'm like, just quit.
Just get out.
You quitters.
You're like me. I'm not very competitive like this. I talk about this pinball score thing and that's a little bit competitive, but not really. Like I am not that guy who gets pissed, throws controllers, accuses everybody of cheating, gets mad and leaves and won't talk to any. I'm just not that. No. Just don't do it.
I'll give my best try. Because if somebody says, oh, I beat your score, I'm like, okay, let me see if I can do a little bit better.
Yeah. And if you can't, you're like, you're better than me. It's all good. Like, who cares? I got nothing to prove. Freaking F right off.
Right. You win.
All right. Let's get into this. We're going to talk about a game I love and then a game I don't love. And we'll talk about both of them.
Oh, that game I believe you don't love. That's some strong language.
Strong, hard words.
Shall we play a game?
All right. We're going to talk about The Simpsons Hit and Run and Road Rage. Two different games. Both came out in the generation of GameCube, PS2, Xbox original.
Sixth gen.
Yep, sixth gen was on everything, was on all those machines I just mentioned. Never got a PC version. That sucks.
Nope, never got a PC version or a Dreamcast version.
Nope.
I wonder why.
Mm.
Crazy taxi.
Bastards. Well, in that case, yeah. In the case of Hit and Run, they should have had it on everything. They should have it today. I should be playing a newly released, rebuild, 4K version of this game now. That's how good Hit and Run is. Road Rage, whatever. Road Rage,
So we'll put our cards on the table up front. Road Rage for me, until this past week, was the only one I ever played, apparently. I had played The Simpsons Road Rage on two different systems. I think I played it on the PlayStation 2, and then I played it on the GameCube. GameCube first, then the PlayStation 2. It might have been the Xbox. Anyway, I played on two different systems. Yeah. I thought I had played both of these games. I had never played Hit and Run, not one time.
You just played the Crazy Taxi ripoff.
That's all I played. I didn't play the GTA 3 ripoff Hit and Run. I only played the Road Rage Crazy Taxi ripoff.
Yeah. And by the way, when I say ripoff, I don't mean it in a negative way. Games do this all the time. We iterate on each other's ideas. New one will come out and do something better than the last guy, whatever. I don't have a problem with that, especially, The Simpsons is all about parody anyway. So we're having a good parody of that game type. I just found it too repetitive and not any depth.
Well, you may have not found it that way, but Sega sure did find that way when they sued these two companies.
I didn't know they sued them. That's crazy. Really?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Sega was like, Hey, Electronic Arts. I don't think so. Radical Entertainment. This is not radical at all. We're taking you to court. And they settled out of court. So
did they, do we know what they got out of that deal?
No, it was not disclosed on what they got. I think they got, Maggie. I'm not sure how the deal went down, but I think that's what happened.
They got custody of Maggie.
Okay. They got custody of Maggie. I think that's what happened. Maggie's. Custody.
Well, here's a little audio from Road Rage just to give people a taste.
Dad. Quit playing those stupid video games, boy. I want to watch TV.
Now you'll notice that today Scott is playing.
Let's go, go, go.
He's playing less overall audio from these games because it contains a bunch of the TV stuff, and I don't want to get pulled
actually
from YouTube.
It doesn't contain any TV stuff. I was worried about this too, be like, ooh, if I stream this, am I going to get in trouble? But actually, I don't think so. And the reason why is because the voice actors were hired and they did this. This is all
actual voice
original
actors.
Material.
Yeah. But they're the actual voice actors. So that was my worry, is that it was going to hear Dan Castellaneta's voice and YouTube was going to go freaking copyright strike or something.
Right. I think if you went to and you looked, you'd probably find that Fox has probably done something where they've submitted all of the Simpsons episodes to watch for that. But I don't think they've ever submitted anything because the games take a little. Let's Play has, kind of makes it a little bit different. I don't think any of this has been submitted to YouTube. I could be wrong. Could totally get a copyright strike, but I think this stands alone. I don't think this is. I don't think this is going to be given.
All right. I was overly cautious then. Now the music.
But I don't blame
the music
you. That's just my guess. I'm no lawyer.
Yeah, you might be right. The music in the game is not Simpsons music from the television show. It's some kind of fakery business. Same with Hit and Run. Neither of them use actual Simpsons music. But other than the intro, the intros all have. And they do the whole thing.
And usually, I usually don't think you get copyright strikes on like intro music. I think you can play most. They're pretty lenient use times about the intro music.
Yeah. And by the way, this game for anyone at home going, this ain't retro. Yeah, it is. It was 2001. It was 23 years ago.
All you gotta do is take a look at the graphics. Yeah, 2001, 22 years ago. All you gotta do is take a look at the early 3D graphics that are going on here. Even though this is a PS2 era Xbox GameCube 3D rendering, it is bad. If you've ever seen the Treehouse of Horror? Horror. Why am I?
Horror.
It's horror.
I don't know why you said terror. Terror. It's horror.
But anyway, it is. Not nowhere near as good as that pre-render stuff. This is live, you know, as we play in-game 3D stuff, and boy,
yeah. But I mean, for me, it's more about, you know, if we can't call 22 years retro, I don't know what you can call
that, right, you know? Exactly.
It's old. Okay, everybody, it's retro.
It's old enough.
Trust me, it's fine. As a Crazy Taxi ripoffs, but you know, likes go. Mm-hmm. This is fine for that. But like Crazy Taxi, which is one of my problems with Crazy Taxi itself, there's very little depth to the game. It's pick up a dude, hurry up and drop him off, pick up the next dude, hurry up and drop him off. I still say if Sega really wanted to get my attention this year, for example, come out with a Crazy Taxi 2023, a new one, build a whole adventure around it, have a story mode, go deeper on these mechanics. And you might say, well, Scott, isn't that just hit and run? And I would say,
Isn't that just hit and run?
You're right about that. So, hey, what I really actually want is a remake of Hit and Run. Let's do that.
Yeah. And so the problem is, this is very much an arcade style taxi game. It is meant to be. We sometimes have trouble when we try to have console games that are arcade style, but that's just what it is. You got a loop. You're trying to improve upon the loop. And you're just trying to get a faster, better score and a higher rating. That's the reason why it's so hard to get a good rating, which you get every time you complete, every time you lose. So if you've never played Crazy Taxi, it's basically you picking up rides and delivering them to their spots within so many seconds. Based on the percentage time of the time left, you get so many more seconds to continue on, to do the next one. And when you get through, when you finally fail, and you will fail, there is no win spot here. You get graded, and then you get the opportunity to unlock more characters or more cars.
Right.
And it's just about unlocking personalities is really all it's about, which is what you want in a Simpsons game, because you want to start out where you can play as everybody. But eventually you get to play, I think, was it 16 characters or something?
I think it's 16 total. Yeah.
Yeah. So you get all the different cars. I think you start out with Homer's car and Homer and then Marge and the Canyonero, which if you're playing Road Rage, you'll notice that this is very much the Canyonero episode of The Simpsons when Homer buys. I rewatched it, by the way. Homer buys a big giant SUV because of all the marketing. He gets it, but he gets the F series, which ends up turning out to be this for the females. And so then he gets all bummed out because, you know, it's a girl's car. So Marge ends up reluctantly drives it because she's not into all this consumer stuff. Then she falls in love with the idea of the power and control of it. And then she ends up having a road rage moment, and then she has to go take anger classes.
Anger management,
road rage, all this stuff is wrapped around that idea.
That episode's awesome. That. It has a great song they use for the commercials for the Canyonero,
Canyonero.
It's really good. Old episode.
Yeah.
I think it's a
good episode.
Probably season 8 or 9 or something like that.
But there's a lot of, in addition to the voice actors, there's a lot of references to The Simpsons up until the point of 2001. Probably most of the people would say that the best episodes happen at least before 2001. And so you get Lisa has an electric car. Bart has his box derby car that's a rocket. And they all drive a little bit different.
Yeah.
They all have their own little, you know, perks.
I should say, I refuse to feed those trolls who all say The Simpsons wasn't good after whatever.
Oh, absolutely.
I hate that whole talking point. Not that you're doing
it,
but I'm saying I hate it because there is tons of good stuff. You just stopped watching, or you became an adult and your kid brain changed, or I don't know what your problem is, but The Simpsons did great stuff, still do good stuff. Yeah. Last season had some bangers in it. Y'all are just, it's just popular to hate on a thing. So
right. And not to me. Okay. So this is, and it's easy to tune in and accidentally get an episode of The Simpsons that does not resonate with you, they have writing teams, and there's writing teams working on multiple episodes at any point in time. So typically what I find is out of each season and the later stuff that we're watching, such that's so large, I usually find three episodes are written by a team that speaks to me. And those episodes are always the best ones to me. So I say, there's still good episodes to watch.
Yeah, there are plenty.
I just don't think it was as uniform as it was during the early years where it was smaller teams and they seemed to write more for everybody. And now it seems like there's kind of like groups.
I mean, the best years.
It's a different dynamic.
I have favorite years. My favorite years were when Conan O'Brien was head writer. Those were my favorite.
Oh, yeah. He was killing it.
Yeah. Before he was anyone else, no one knew even who he was. He was making these amazing episodes. By the way, this one originally aired in February 22nd of 1998. It is the episode called The Last Temptation of Crust. And that was the first time that car showed up. Or the Canyonero.
Oh, the Canyonero. The first time the Canyonero. That was not the episode that I watched, but it must have been.
Yeah. I think it maybe preceded it. It says, let's see, Jay Leno was in it. Bill Hicks, Dennis Miller, Dennis Leary, and George Carlin were all in it.
Right.
So it says, Krusty becomes an anti-establishment stand-up comic, but must choose between his ethics and selling out when an agent offers him the chance to be spokesman for the new SUV, the Canyonero.
Oh, interesting. So yeah. I thought I remember Krusty being involved some way, so I guess that must be part of my memory. That was him. Okay, that makes sense. I think that's
it. It's pretty great, though, right? I love that.
But the story point behind The Simpsons Road Rage is they went full out. They had The Simpsons writers. They had several Simpsons writers on staff who were doing the story points. And so we got Mr. Burns has picked up the public transport system, and he's going to try to force everybody to use public transport, and they're all nuclear powered, and they're terrorizing the town. And so the townsfolk start early idea of like a Uber and a kind of a Lyft thing where everybody gets their own, you know, takes their car and goes around town and picks people up and delivers them to fight off Mr. Burns' evil ways.
His evil ways. Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
His evil ways, yeah.
It's a
simple game.
It's a fine, yeah, it's simple. There's nothing wrong with it. I would feel better in an arcade than spending 50 bucks on it. But
for
what it is great. I wonder, though, did that deal they made, the behind-the-scenes settlement, did it stop the game from being on the shelves? Or anything like that.
I understand. Everything that I read was just kind of like in a disagreement.
Yeah.
And they managed to work it out behind the scenes.
So it's probably like, here's a bunch of money, and also we get to keep the game if we pay you or whatever.
Yeah. Sega probably recognized that, you know, Crazy Taxi is a pretty simple game. Pretty simple game mechanics. It'd be really hard to go toe to toe with somebody as big as Fox, because Fox was kind of, you know, backing all of this too with the I think just do what you have to do.
I would love to have been in that room. I love those sorts of things. Are interesting to me how stuff gets done like that.
Sega had a lot bigger fish to fry. This was, like I said, during the Dreamcast era, so you know they were already having trouble.
Yeah, they were trying to keep alive whatever they could. Plus Japan probably had a whole other idea, because we've talked about that before with Japan. Sega Japan was like, we think we go this way, and America's like, no, shit, we're doing this.
We're going this way, buddy.
Yeah, that's pretty bad. All right, now we'll talk about the version that ended up on GBA. I never played this. I downloaded it this week. I didn't play it back in the day. I downloaded it this week and played it, and I kind of like it.
It's kind of okay for a Game Boy Advance game. It's silly.
For getting shrunk down like that, right? Like somehow it works pretty good for what they're trying to pull off here.
It's amazing that they was able to get this game on the Game Boy Advance. It is not nearly as polished as the Road Rage on the consoles, but it does have its own charm. I don't like the fact that everything is tracks, like in Road Rage on the console systems. You really felt like you were driving around Springfield.
Like an open city. Yeah.
Like an open world. You know, it unlocks certain areas we can go to and all that stuff. On the Game Boy Advance version, you can still unlock those areas, but they're just tracks, and there's no buildings. There's like graphics that kind of represent areas you can't go to, which can be kind of frustrating, especially when you're trying to get to deliver somebody. They have you deliver them off the main road, and sometimes you can't tell where you're supposed to go, and you start just running into stuff.
Yeah.
It's silly because there, you know, it's a flat surface and you think I'm just going to be able to drive over here. Wrong.
You can't. It's also it's very ugly. They tried to make the cell shaded thing work, but it's very ugly and crusty and gross. And no pun intended with Krusty the Clown in this car right now, but it's real crusty, and it has has the kind of, I mean, they're using that 2D sort of Mode 7 style thing you do with Mario Kart or any other racer of that type. And
low frame rate.
At first I was really put off by it. I was like, ugh, this is bad. I don't want to play this. But then I kind of had a good time with it. I don't know. Maybe it's because it's portable, Brian. It's like, you know, the other one is like, oh, I got to be in front of my TV or an arcade or whatever. And this one, I'm like, no, I can just walk around and have this in my hand.
It was a little bit faster. There's like this collect-a-thon kind of thing almost where you're collecting things as you go. There were not as much traffic on the road. On road raids, there's a lot of traffic and you're constantly hitting everything. And it's a little bit frustrating because the streets are so narrow. But in the Game Boy Advance, there's lots of room. You're just having to worry about the tracks, and occasionally a car will pop up and be a hindrance. But for the most part, they're out of the way. I liked all of that. My favorite part is there's a mode here in this one that that allows you to, there's head-to-head mode, there's like regular mission mode, which is the one we're most familiar with, where you just pick up somebody and drop them off. Or maybe that's mission mode, I think, is actually when you have to hit certain things. Like, I think the first mission mode is when you have
to take
Willie has to knock over the newspaper boxes. Is that right?
Yeah, and that's not in the console game, which is unfortunate because I think that would have made me have a better opinion about it because it would have added to the depth of the game.
You know? Actually, I think that one was in the console.
Is
game.
It? There's a mode in here that isn't, though. What is it?
Yeah. There is one that's not in it. There's the one where it's basically you're trying to make all you're trying to do. You're not racing against time. You're just trying to make the passenger happy, and you do that by different ways. Each character has things that makes them happy, and you have to discover what those things are. And it's usually like, okay, they like when you hit other cars, or they don't, or they like when you hit like mailboxes or whatever, or they don't.
I think they stole that. You know where I think they stole that from? Is they stole that from another Sega game, which was
they probably did.
One of the OutRun games does that, where you're trying to keep your girlfriend happy.
Oh yeah, there you go. That's right. And then she gets out of the car. I love that. When you meet points and stuff.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's like, oh, you're drifting a lot. I love that. Yeah. So I'm not getting out of the car yet, sort of stuff. I think they wonder if they had another phone call about that. Probably not, but that'd be
fun. The thing that makes that mode fun for me is they have a little avatar of the Simpson character you're driving over in like the top upper right hand corner.
Yeah.
And you know they like it or don't like it, not by the bar that's increasing or decreasing. Which you could look at, you know it by their reactions.
It's their face. Yeah. So here's Lisa. Yeah, she'll get grumpy or get excited, or she'll be pissed or whatever. Yeah. She's pretty stoked. Look at her. She's like,
I know. I think, but I think something works about this one. Yeah. I think something works more about this one than the other system.
I think it benefits from being in your hand and put it in your pocket and carry it somewhere. I think that's a big, if this was on a big screen, we'd all be laughing our asses off going, is this passable? I mean, how did you even make this? So there's something about it. I will give it a little bit of love over the console version. And also I'm making a lot of this hay out of nothing. I don't hate the console version. It's just that if you're giving me the choice, hit and run is by far a superior experience and even has some of these elements in it. It even has like the hurry up and deliver a guy element in it, but so much more. So
Hit and Run definitely benefited from what they learned on Road Rage. Road Rage just was not enough. It was almost like a proof of concept, and then they went to the next level, and it got a lot better. And I did not realize that until this past week when I first started playing Hit and Run, and I've played more Hit and Run than I've probably played any other game reviewed that we've done so far.
Awesome.
It makes me
the one they were, those guys were remaking it, and then they said they were only remaking it to show a technical demo of something with Unreal or something, and they weren't going to actually distribute it. It just makes me want this game, even just up-res the current assets. I don't care. Just
We've seen that guy giving the demo that you just mentioned, and it looks so good with new assets.
It looks incredible. It looks so good. I mean, this game already looks good.
Just don't do it in Unity. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Don't even get me started. This game already looked good because, you know, you have the advantage of a cartoon world. You can do some low poly, you know, it doesn't have to look. It does. Obviously, you're not even going for realism. You're going for making it
Homer
look like
Simpson,
the show.
Right.
So it always had like a really nice frame rate, and it just ran incredibly well on my GameCube where I played it. It was a GameCube.
Mm-hmm.
And could not get enough of it. Now, essentially the game. Well, here's a little sound from it.
I have road rage, and I know how to use it.
Look out!
So it's just some stuff in the road. A lot of little quips and lines and stuff. But it's GTA in Simpsons land. That's 100% what it is. The missions are, you know, we got to go take this thing, do this stuff or whatever, and you go do it.
It was a lot more kid-friendly. That's the only difference, right?
Oh, yeah, way more kid-friendly. Although there's Ralph in the back picking his nose, which is always fun to see.
That's kid-friendly. Kids love that stuff.
Kids love booger picking. But yeah, it's if you liked GTA at all, this was that. And it parodied GTA. It also outdid GTA in some ways, in my opinion.
Yeah, yeah.
The voice acting alone was better than GTA 3, where your character didn't even have a voice, which was kind of a bummer. Back then, neither that or Vice City. Your protagonist had no voices in those games, which is weird.
I'm watching the guy on screen right now, and there's a point where you can press the intercom to talk to Skinner. You don't see him, but this person is going nuts hitting the intercom button and is making me laugh. And he also went to the clothes changing. So you collect coins by destroying stuff here, in other ways. Completing missions and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But you get to buy things with that. And one of the things you get to buy is Homer's different outfits, like his moo moo from the episode where he wanted to become disabled by being overweight. And then they also have a naked one. You have to pay coins to get a Homer in his underwear.
Yeah.
I don't know why you would.
Yeah.
I don't understand the point behind that.
Well, it's just because, you know, you got to catch them all, I guess. You got to catch them all, I guess.
Yeah. You got to catch all the Homers.
But it's got great physics. It's got great driving physics, which I thought GTA's driving physics kind of blew. And this game was more fun to drive.
I like funner. Now, that's appropriate.
What am I, five?
Joe McGinn, who is the only developer who I saw talk about this, he was the game designer he was the lead game designer on Hit and Run, but I think he had stuff to do as well as with the other Road Rage. But anyway, he's the only one I've ever seen talk about this. And he said that the driving physics they took from Driver. That PlayStation.
Oh, Driver was awesome, dude. What a cool game.
Yeah, so they were imitating that. The missions and stuff was more GTA 3. And then the platforming stuff, they were heavily inspired by Mario 64, which kind of makes sense because when you start using those camera controls and everything in this GameCube era where you're using the C stick, that yellow stick to kind of rotate around and things, you really start to feel it. You're like, okay, oh my God, this person's running over Flanders and kicking everybody. This guy is playing it like GTA 3. I did brutalize the citizens of Springfield like this guy is doing.
No, you can be pretty reckless if you want.
Right.
You don't actually, you can't really hurt people that are meant to be hurt. So like he drove into Ned Flanders here in a second ago and just flattened him on the
ragdoll
ground.
Ragdoll physics is pretty hilarious.
But Flanders got right up and was like, here's your mission. It wasn't any big deal.
Here's your mission. And doesn't even mention it.
Yeah. And there's like fun. They just did a joke on screen. Said that the name of this mission is Bland Theft Homer or something like that.
Bland Theft.
Yeah. So they're like, they got these, you know, stupid inside jokes. And the voice acting is everyone from the show. So you're not having a bunch of fake bullshit. I remember that being a big deal at the time because a lot of games that were based on properties like this or movies or anything else were always scabs or some other voice actors. But they had, you know, all the regular people in here.
Probably the biggest influence this game had on other games. We try to talk about this when we can, is the fact that it proved that you could have something that was intellectual property and you could just go full in, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, McGinn talked in an interview with GamesRadar talking about they had monthly meetings and play tests with Simpsons creator Matt Groening for Hit and Run. And they had three tenets. You had mentioned the comedy in this, and the three pillars of the development on this thing was that they were going to have a fun driving gameplay. You're going to be able to be very immersive by exploring an immersive Springfield, and to never forget we're making a comedy. So lots of Simpsonisms, right?
Yeah.
Throughout the whole thing.
Big time.
You feel like you're in that world.
It's like when South Park made Stick of Truth and then later the butthole one. What was that called?
The fractured butthole.
Fractured butthole, yeah.
Yeah.
Those two games are wonderful, but what makes them great and not just another turn-based RPG is that they went to great lengths to have it written by Trey and Matt, to have the animation style match the show and almost like flawlessly match it. You can't even tell you're not watching the show. Mm-hmm. That's what set those things apart. And I think this was an early example of that and a smart one. Because why would you know, why not? Why do you want to have like a watered down, it's sort of like The Thing. And this is early 3D, so we're just starting to grapple with that. And the 2D games without voice stuff, you could get away with a lot. Including Simpsons games, right? Where they didn't have a lot of voice samples, or it was always like, don't have a cow, man, repeated over and over.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out of pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I don't think you may not remember it, or you may not have been around, but oh my God, the 3D episode of when the Simpsons went to 3D in the Treehouse of Terror.
Yeah.
That was monumental.
It was huge. That was a Utah, Utah company, by the way, that did that.
Oh, was it really?
At the time, I think they've changed hands and stuff, but at the time they were like this upstart 3D thing. And I think maybe Imagination bought them or something.
Okay. Right.
But anyway, I remember at the time going, holy shit, we are in a new world, everybody. Look at this 3D episode of The Simpsons. And
it was, I haven't went back to look at how it looks, but I'm sure it looks like trash. But the fact that these creators of these, these different properties were starting to really pay attention. The creators were paying attention to making the video games instead of cash grabs, which had been mostly what it was before, right? It's like, oh, we want to expand our intellectual property into other mediums. But finally we were getting creators who were going, yeah, I want to be involved with this. And I want to really get something going on. Look at that.
I think it holds up all right. I think that looks okay.
That still looks pretty good. Scott just pulled up a screen grab from that episode of The Simpsons, and it looks
pretty good.
Damn tasty.
My favorite part of it was he was basically plopped down in the middle of mist. There was the big mist building behind him and all that. It was super referential. It's a fantastic episode.
Yeah, Poltergeist was referenced, I think. Wasn't that he got sucked into the wall or something, and they were trying to, all that. Yeah, a lot of popular culture references.
It's a really, really good episode. And I would say that was like late 90s, but 98, maybe 99, something like that.
Right, yeah.
Anyway, oh boy, don't search for... Be careful with your safe search on Homer searches.
Be careful with your safe search. Love it. Oh, by the way, also in that McGinn interview, and you should look this up, it's on gamesradar.com, and his 20 years on the Simpsons hit and run designer reflects on enduring legacy. And it's a really short read, but it's a good read. And he talks about what the state of affairs were at that time. We were having another retraction or contraction on video game development. So Radical was kind of suffering a little bit, and they still kept all their employees on, even though they had many projects canceled, and they didn't really have a direction at that time. And they made the Road Rage demo to show to Fox. And so they were only one of the few companies that had the manpower to actually make a full working game demo, as opposed to other people just pitching ideas, which were, they said, were a lot of cart games. Mm. Carts were, it was real popular at the time, just to take
cart
an IP
were
and drop it into
deal.
A cart game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This was about the time the PS2 version of Mortal Kombat Armageddon, I think it was. They had a little mini cart game in it.
Yeah, yeah. It's very popular. Easy. Yeah. That's the easy take. That was, and so luckily we had some people that wanted more. And we got Simpsons Hit and Run, which I thought I had played before, like I said, and now I'm a huge fan. And as Scott pointed out, when you go versus on these two games, Road Rage really lags behind.
And Road Rage is almost like a tech demo for what Hit and Run is.
Yeah, yeah. Way. Road Rage as a standalone game, it's fun.
Yeah,
it's a lot of fun. I like it. I'll play it anytime. But
You know what's funny though? They could come out tomorrow. They could come out tomorrow over there at Rockstar and say, "Hey, we're making Vice City, my favorite of the early GTAs." They could say, "We're going to make a brand new Vice City game." And they kind of are. The new game 6 is supposed to have some Vice City shit in it, but I don't think it's set in the 80s like this one was. I think it's set now, but it's still Miami, aka Vice City. Anyway,
right?
They could tell me they were remaking that game from the top bottom in a new engine. I mean, I'll still play it. But if you said, Scott, your choice is that or a Hit and Run remake. Hit and Run all day, every day. That's how much I loved it.
So what's your craziest idea for a Hit and Run? Is it four split screen or something online or local co-op?
Hell no. I don't want any of that.
Mario, so how about Mario Kart level, but with, you know, better Hit and Run physics, like a GTA Online kind of thing? You thinking more GTA Online? I mean, you just want something encapsulated.
You know what? To extend the life of the game, I'm fine with that. But what I just want is a really strong campaign. Or like I said, I would just go for just make me a remake. Charge me $50. I'm here. I'm good. Let's do it.
Just up the graphics a little bit. I'm fine with the story. It's fun to visit Springfield from 2003 and before.
Maybe slightly less timed missions. All these games have those, but slightly fewer of those. Maybe get a little creative with some of the missions. Some of them are a little repetitive, but you know, it's a game from 22 years ago. They've learned some things. And I would love a whole new take, but make sure you've got like seasoned Simpsons writers doing the work. Mm-hmm. Make sure voice actors are over. The new Apu guy, bring him over, whoever, whatever, and make that game. And I will pay you money. Here's my money. It's ready.
Here's my money. I will give Matt Groening's other character from Futurama some love. I'll give Fry, take my money.
Oh, I would play one of these games in the year 3000 New York with Fry and crew.
That would be awesome.
Or you know what? Even better. Give me an outer space delivery game with them having to deliver shit and have adventures out there. Like they don't use enough graining material for, I say this knowing that there are really huge games in the history of the Simpsons. Right. The Simpsons arcade machine is considered one of the all time classics, right? Can't get around that. Like it's not that they don't already have good games, but more of that, and give me Futurama. Give me that Disenchanted thing from Netflix now.
Oh, the Netflix Disenchanted thing. Yeah.
Yeah, make me a little RPG, you know, thing.
Just put it in Matt Groening's hand and go crazy. Hey, look.
I love that show.
I'm with you. I don't think it needs to be crazy. I think just a solid remake would be fantastic, updated graphics, and I'm going to say give me some better physics, because this game in the beginning, Hit and Run, is a lot of fun and a little challenging. And I played it on normal difficulty. But once you get in 4 or 5 hours, it starts getting increasingly difficult. And it's no longer because of the difficulty around the game. It's because the physics start to fail for you, because it's just not great physics. Yeah. It's a little cartoony.
Yeah.
And that's fine in a cartoon, but if you're going to ask me to do something crazy difficult, you better give me the tools to be able to do that without me having to play it over and over and over again. I don't mind playing things over.
That might be what would be great about a Futurama take, because Futurama did a lot with ships and stuff and cars and things on the ground. They did a lot of early 3D,
right?
And that stuff looked great. So
you could
make some real cool physics engine stuff in there. Oh, you fixed your camera. You were freezing for so long. We were a little worried about you, but you're back.
Yeah. I didn't fix anything. I just started moving again.
Oh, really?
That's it. Out.
You were just like, and then all those words are being formed in the back of your throat. It's amazing.
I got a new PC, Scott, so it won't be long now. I got a Lenovo Legion 5i, which is an Intel a 7. With a 4070 NVIDIA RTX video card.
Fancy
and
boy.
So, yeah, not it's mostly to play my Baldur's Gate 3, which I fell in love with after we played the first two here on Play Retro Show. And so, yeah, hopefully this kind of tech problems will disappear soon.
Well, no problems, no issues. Look at this, guys. I'm going to show you on screen here. There is a GTA mod, of course. There's always is.
Oh, yes.
GTA 3.
You're hilarious.
Homer Simpson's been in all the GTAs, basically. If you could mod the game, somebody put Homer in there. And
the first ones are hilarious.
They're pretty bad. Let me get past this.
But they're bad in a hilarious way. It's like you could tell they just ragdoll modeled some stuff to throw on a character. It's just it fantastic.
Looks terrible, dude. Look at him running. Oh my gosh, that's bad.
It's so good though. I can't help but to love it. And I think that's one of the mods I always downloaded. I'd always look for a Simpsons kind of mod.
One of the best Doom mods, Doom and Doom 2 mods I ever played was a Simpsons mod. It's fantastic.
Yes.
Yeah. They put all those sound effects in there and
GTA is like, instead of suing, GTA was like, how about we just don't say nothing and see if our mods, if our moderators out there will, moderators? No, they're modders. If our modders out there will fire back. And they did.
Now, what's cool, Simpsons. It's got a lot better with, this video is not going to show it, but the version for the latest game, I'll find one real quick. GTA.
Oh, yeah. 6. Yeah. The latest stuff is Homer looks mod. Fantastic. It gives me hope.
Oh, there's got to be one. Not
oh,
GTA
there's definitely
6.
Some.
I wrote six. I meant
that one. I think that was actually a GTA 3.
Yeah, that was
mod.
3. I meant 5, not 6. Yeah. 6 isn't out yet. Okay, here it is. Modded GTA Homer did this. Okay, here we go. Yeah, see, they've got like in car stuff.
5.
Let me pull out here. There you go. It looks like actual Homer blowing up the neighborhood. And
look at the big fat Homer arms. I'm down with this.
That's pretty great.
He's got a gun. He's just oozing. Man, that is a good looking Homer. Look
at
that.
Yeah, it's a good Homer. GTA 5 is
already in the engine.
Look, there's a bunch of other people rolling with him. They're all the rest of the family. It's Marge's head.
Yeah.
The GTA 5 will forever amaze me with its ability to still look this good this many years later.
Yeah.
This game came out in 2012 on PS3s and Xbox 360. And then they, of course, made a up-res version for later consoles and PC, but still,
right?
This is an old ass. This is a 10-year-old game.
Yeah, it's like it looks like somebody lovingly recreated Springfield here. All the single level ranch tile homes that are in the
They might be somewhere in San Andreas that just has those, but
probably so.
Yeah, it's cool though.
But it feels like it.
Yeah. Well, anyway,
where's Smithers?
Smithers is not a guy you would pick to be your main character. I guess I don't know. we'll see. I don't know what the future holds for this, but it's a really bright moment in that generation of
games. And it will be officially 23 years old by the time you hear this episode. Probably. I think it's something like it released in September, September the 18th or something.
Is it
2003. So it'd be 20 years. Yeah, so like 20 years.
That's there it is. September 16th. Oh my gosh, today.
Oh, is that today? Look at us.
It's today.
We did it on purpose. The lightning struck for a reason.
Yeah, the lightning wasn't there to turn off my power and make my life hard. It was there to push us to a day where the stars aligned.
That's right. Duh.
Man, I think a little pee came out just now. All right. That's your look at those games. They're fantastic, especially the other one. And you can... Oh, and it plays really well on my Steam Deck. I was going to mention Hit and Run has got a great mod scene.
It plays so good on my Steam Deck. And I played it using the Emu Deck thing. I played the GameCube, the PlayStation version. I did not play the Xbox version. They all look fairly
similar.
They're
pretty the same.
But
if
you go back and look, you will find that the Xbox was a little bit more powerful than the other machines.
It was the
tiniest bit better.
It was. If you played the game? The Sam Fisher
game.
That
doesn't always translate to a better looking game, but
not always. Not always, but sometimes it does. They just get a little extra oomph on there, which is was Microsoft's whole pitch that time.
But with that said, the PC Master Race murdered all of them. Hit and Run came out on the PC. The Road Rage did not.
What? No, it didn't. When? Did it?
Indeed. According to my research.
Hit and run PC? Yeah, hold on.
Hit and run.
You're going to make me lose my mind here.
It looks so much better than those others. PC Master Race forever, baby. And, you know, I'm going to go ahead and tell you now. Yeah, if you spend that much money on a PC, it should look better than these consoles.
This will run now. I just found it. Abandonware.com has the Windows version of. I'm playing this. Why I didn't know about this.
Why do you even do it the other way? What was I thinking?
Shit.
Yeah, 2003, The Simpsons, Hit and Run on that on the PC.
Oh, this sounds like a nightmare. Listen to this.
Yeah.
Here are the instructions. Download the file pack. There should be CD1, CD2, and CD3. I used a program called Virtual Clone Drive for my virtual iOS or ISO image reading. Open CD1 with the virtual disk drive. This sounds like a nightmare.
Yeah, it's a nightmare. Well, I probably could do it with PCEM or something, and I could get you a 2003. That would be Windows. What is
XP,
that?
Windows, right? Wouldn't that be XP?
Have we gotten
XP? No, was
maybe XP. No, it wouldn't be XP. It would be
98.
Definitely would be 98 because we're already in 2003.
That's got to be XP,
right?
Yeah, 2001 XP came out, so we were
2001.
Still...
So that should be XP, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Unless you're still running ME or something, you crazy people.
Oh my lord! Whoever you are doing that, freaking get a life.
I've got an XP. I got an XP right over here. I'll fire that baby up and see what I can do.
Look at this shot of this family running. Look at the Simpsons family running, Brian. They're like a little bit blurred out because of the. That's amazing.
Yeah.
I want
that's
this
way to go.
Maybe I'll just get this mod. I have GTA 5. Jeez.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that looks like a lot of fun. I'm down with it. But the thing is about Hit and Run and Road Rage is it really makes you feel like you're in the game and I mean, in the show. And I love that. Simpsons Tapped Out is my favorite thing this ever happened with gaming and
except Simpsons. For those microtransactions,
I never did the microtransactions. It was always balanced well enough. This is before the butthole who is currently ruining a Unity was at EA, and before it got too microtransactional when I was heavy playing, there was enough to allow you to play for as much as you'd want to play in a day before you'd hit the wall.
That was John Riccatello, for the record.
Right, right.
And that guy.
So if for those in the future reference, we're currently going through a thing where a lot of indie developers are very concerned about Unity's new take on distribution of runtimes and how they're charging. And it's going to really hurt some indie game developers.
It's a load of shit. And the fact that they haven't backed it or what am I trying to walk it back yet is insane to me. Insane.
Yeah. I don't know if they will. If you look at where the real problem is, it's not necessarily with companies other than these companies are hiring the same CEOs and he's just working his way through all the different game companies and just trying to make them, profitable at any cost, even if it means destroying the company and everything.
It's stupid. If you want to hear me really go off along with John and Bo, we had an entire 45 minute discussion about this very thing on the core this week, so go check that out. All right, let's move on to this now.
Destroy it.
We're going to do Guess My Game. We have a little bit of audio from an old game, and we try to stump each other as to what it is. We get three questions each, and any other hints the person who knows what it is can give if they want to. There's no rules that way.
I ain't giving you nothing.
Well, I'm giving you something, and it's this one.
Oh, okay.
2003 Game Boy Advance. So we're staying in the year.
This is 20 years ago. This would be Game Boy. So are you going to play me Simpsons?
It is definitely nothing. I will tell you this. It is 100% not Simpsons related all.
I don't think there was one there. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. As close as you're going to get is that Road Rage one. So I'll play it. Let's see if you can figure it out and you can ask your questions.
Oh, this sounds sexy. I like it. This sounds familiar. Oh my god, this sounds so familiar. What is this?
It should sound familiar.
What is that? Oh shit, what is that?
Any Any ideas? Any guesses?
Holy hell, no, but I feel like I'm going to feel like an idiot when you tell me what this is. Okay, so this is 2003 Game Boy Advance. 2003
Game Boy Advance, yep.
Is this a... Is this a side-scroller?
No.
Okay, get out of the way. That's what I figured. Okay. Yep,
that's question number one.
Yeah, I didn't figure it was, but just in case. What, that sounds so familiar. Is that like... Wait. Okay, wait. That's that Lord of the Rings of some sort?
Oh, okay. I will say that you are in the right department here at the store.
Right.
You are in the right IP.
Okay.
So now you must be specific.
Okay, let me think. 2003, when the first one came out. Let me see.
The Rings of Men.
Right. Does this employ the Nemesis system?
It does not. I will not count that one against you, because that's
that was just
joke
for fun.
Well,
that was for comedic effect. Yeah, that was for comedic effect.
Not going
to
count.
Which,
that.
By the way, I love the Nemesis system.
I do too. I hate that they tried to copyright it, because now people are scared to use it, and it pisses me off.
But, right. So the most popular one that was everybody loved the most, and we talked about this on FilmSack, was Return of the King.
Damn it, you got it. That's it.
Return of the King.
It's Return of the King for the GBA. Now, I want people to understand something. Back then, IP-based games were not great sometimes.
No.
All right? Sometimes they were bad. Today, we talked about a good one with The Simpsons, but oftentimes they were bad. This game is as close as you were going to get to Diablo on a handheld back then.
Yes.
And plays so good even today. This game is rad. It's underrated.
And if that music was not running in the background, there's no way in hell I would have guessed that.
Yeah, it's almost that impossible
was,
without it.
Yeah, that was a game of eliminate what it probably ain't and then what's left.
Yeah, you did a good job of that. I think people should play it, though. It holds up visually, I think, for what it was at the time. It plays really well. It's got all this loot dropping stuff going on. You can be Gandalf. You can be these different characters. It's a cool game that got under everyone's radar, and it's worth playing today. So check it out.
I didn't realize how much that sounded like the Terminator music until I was
a little
listening
bit
to it. And I'm like, I was going back and forth. I'm like, oh, wait, is that?
Yeah. The Terminator? orc stuff they would do in those movies. Very Terminator.
Right. Yeah.
You're not wrong. It makes you want to grab a fence and have the fire take you. All right, Brian, we're going to play yours now. Do you have a little setup for me? A little something there?
This is the Super Nintendo Entertainment System, and it was a game that was released in 1992, right? That's what I put in the...
92.
Make sure I got the right one.
Where is it?
Is that right? Yeah, 1992 for the Super Nintendo Entertainment System, and I was thinking about this game because this is one of the ones I was planning on picking up for my... Super Nintendo Entertainment System, which I don't have many titles for. I only have two titles, and this would be number three.
All right. Let's see what we got. Oh, that's familiar as hell. So's this. Shit. Okay, based on a popular IP?
Yes, this was one of, what was it, 3 or so they released? Maybe four.
Four?
Yeah, I think it may have been, it was either 3 or 4 of these that eventually came out. So it is a series. I wouldn't think too much about the popular IP part, but just a very popular game with a series. How about that?
Okay, this part...
I mean, so don't think of like Mario. Go ahead.
Let me back up to the beginning. I want to hear this top part again, because it... Oh, that is so familiar to me.
Mm-hmm.
And this little...
Yep.
Oh, that's going to drive me up a tree. All right, question number two. Popular IP. Is it a Nintendo game, like a Nintendo property IP type IP, you know, like Kirby?
No, it is a third party developer and publisher.
Third party. Oh, shit steaks.
All the shit steaks.
I feel like I should know this. I think I played this. I just can't.
You definitely played this, and it's been, I'll give you a clue also. It's been re-released for like the Wii Virtual Console and stuff. It's, you know, I still get some love.
Yeah.
It's not as popular as a lot of other Super NES titles, but it was pretty popular for its time.
Okay. Last question. That's all I got left here.
Is it?
Why am I struggling here so bad?
Nobody in the chat room has guessed it so far, so maybe it was a little tougher than I thought.
It might be tougher than, yeah. Or maybe it's just as familiar to them, but they can't place it like I can't. Okay, last question. Nintendo exclusive, or was it on other stuff?
It was only on Nintendo, and I will tell you that I believe the first one of these, maybe in the first two and three. Yeah, first one. Was it just 2 and 3? Was on the NES. So this was a carryover from an NES series.
Oh, interesting. Is it? I think this is a Disney game, but I can't think of it. Wrong direction. Well, I'm already out of questions. I'll just take a guess. Is this Bust a Move?
Oh no, that's a very interesting take. Okay, I can see some of those sound effects.
I'm out of that then. What's the deal? What have I done?
We're landing on Super Adventure Island.
Oh shit! You know why? Because I just played that new Adventure Island game that came out like a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
It's very good and it's super throwbacky and it uses some of the same music or at least hints at it. That's what this is.
Ordering it online. Hope to have it soon.
Oh my lord. Yeah, wait a minute. Wait, what's the game again?
Super Adventure Island.
What am I thinking of? Monster Island, wrong thing.
Oh yeah, Monster Island. That's also related in some form or fashion, isn't it?
They may all be connected. Like, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that threw me, dude. All right, well I get one of these today.
Monster Land. It's a remake of Wonder Boy. Oh, there's one that was let's see.
Wonder Boy in Monster Land is this new one.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Yeah.
Love it. It plays more like a Metroidvania. It's so good.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Big fan. Great animation.
Big fan.
Big fan. Hey, check me out. I'm a big fan. All right. Nicely done. That sucked. Let's move on to some listener feedback. And when we do that, we play this.
Welcome to the Treasure Room.
We're going to start with an email, playretroshow@gmail.com from Peter. Peter says, hey, Scoot and Brian.
Peter.
Do you guys have a recommended guide for installing Garlic OS on the RG35XX? Oh. Thanks, Peter. I don't, but I'll bet. Well, I know we have stuff in the Discord. Probably should have sent them there, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So I think the one I used was the GameCore tutorial. That's Corp as in C-O-R-P, right? Isn't that?
Core,
Let me make sure. Before I say for sure. Let me watch me. Yeah. I think, the retro game core.
Yeah.
C-O-R-P-S core.
Like corpse.
Corpse. Like corpse.
Except not the corpse where you're
the
dead.
Best one. So just look up the RG35XX and then look up retro game corpse. And that is the by far the de facto one that I've used. It's pretty straightforward. There's a lot of information on it, but don't get intimidated because a lot of it's more like, if this applies to you, then do this part. If not, skip to the next part.
Mm.
So it may look a little bigger than it actually is. It's not hard. It's mostly just downloading a file, extracting a file onto an SD card that's been formatted properly.
Yeah.
And simple then copying files over is pretty much just as easy.
Yeah. I went a level lazier. Brian made my cards for me.
Yeah. It was even easier. I can't be involved with formatting a FAT32. What I look like.
No. Who do you think I am?
I can't press buttons.
There's a million guides out there, but we have some of this stuff linked on our Discord. And if you aren't already part of our Discord, you should be. Go to frogpants.com/discord today and you're in. Just look for the Play Retro group.
There are tons of people in there who have done it and know.
Yeah. Good people. All. Every one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Peter, for your email. Here's a call.
Thanks, Peter.
We got a voicemail from, well, I'll tell you where it went into. Sorry. 801-471-0462. I forgot to write his name down. But, oh, I know why. Because his call gets garbled in the beginning and I can't actually hear his name. Oh. But the rest of the call is fine. So, anyway, we're going to play it and we'll answer the question. Here you go.
Wisconsin. Hey,
we know he's in Wisconsin.
Yeah, yeah.
That we can tell. All right. Listen to that again.
Wisconsin. Hey, on the latest episode of Oregon Trail, you guys are talking about, Scott, you're talking about a monitor, a small monitor that you found. Something you guys should actually keep an eye out for and look into for those smaller high definition monitors is in the camera world. A lot of us use called a camera monitor, which is a small, usually like a 7-inch or 10-inch screen. That typically is either 1080 or 4K. Anyway, have a great day. Bye.
Probably get it cheap.
Yeah, I haven't thought about that. That's a good area. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I did this
smart
$50 or whatever it
Wisconsin.
Was. What? Yeah, thanks.
Wisconsin.
From Wisconsin. Yeah, no, that's a great idea. I don't know. I mean, can I just commercially get those? Is that a thing I can buy? I don't know.
It's a good question.
Like
it's
if I go to Amazon and I go 7-inch screen 1080p, just as an example.
Yeah. That's a good one. Yeah.
Let's see what we got. There are a lot of these for pretty cheap. Yeah, you know what?
Pretty reasonable.
This isn't bad.
Ruggedized too, looking. I like how ruggedized they look. That'd be nice for carrying with you.
Oh, hell yeah, dude. Yeah, that's a CarPlay. Like these CarPlay ones would work. They have HDMI in.
Yeah.
You can do
a USB port on it. Look at the headphones.
I want something where I can create kind of a overlap on my lap in bed. So I want to make like a stand. The way so it'll stand, I can crunch down like got my controller. Because right now I'm doing this, but this thing's like the screen's loose. It's not connected to anything. So it's kind of flopping down once in a while. Or I'll shift and the whole thing will go on
its
side.
That's just age. Yeah.
That just comes with time, guys.
Yeah, it comes with time, man.
Sorry. I'll have to go look and see what's up here. These seem neat. Although I think I'd want 10 inch minimum. You know?
I like this size, I think.
7 would kill me.
I think.
It's too small. It's small as my phone. That's basically
small as your phone.
Yeah, your phone's 6'5 or whatever. For the big ones. All right, here we go. 10.1 inch monitors. VGA screen, PC camera, Raspberry Pi gaming, 1080p,
Raspberry Pi,
dual speakers, USB-C. See, there's some solutions out there.
Yeah, I like it. Like the one that we picked up is nice and all. I got the same one you recommended.
Arizopa?
Yeah. And the speakers are not super loud, though. That's probably the only thing that I would have.
Yeah, I ended up having to do headphones every time now because it's so quiet. But
yeah, it's pretty quiet.
Here you go, Chad. It's the Arizopa portable monitor. They have a 14-inch. They have a 15 and a 17, I think, too. It's good, though. Quality's real nice.
Yeah. Yes, it looks nice. I actually hooked it up to – so I have my 100-inch screen TV that comes down in the bedroom to throw the ladies. And I got a 3D projector that's not always 3D. And I hooked up the monitor on the bedside so that I could navigate through all the stuff beforehand before I start playing any movies or anything. So,
sure.
And then occasionally I'll hook my game up to it. But yeah.
We're nerds beneficial. In the bedroom. Okay.
Yeah. Nerds in the bedroom. And what is it? What's the word? Nerds in the bedroom.
Is there a phrase or a saying?
A rock star in the on the streets? I don't know.
A rock star in the streets. That is not a phrase, but
not a phrase. It's not a thing. I'm trying to make it. Stop trying to make it a thing, Brian.
I'm going to accept it. I think it's good. We're going to let that fly. I'm the judge in this courtroom. I will allow it.
I gavel it to be true.
That's right. That's going to do it for today. But we want to remind you that our next game coverage is going to be all about the Duke Nukem 1991 through 96 or so.
Yes.
Duke Nukem in its 2D beginnings all the way to its 3D reveal in 96. And we'll end there because it's kind of where it stopped being great and got weird later.
Yeah.
But yeah, a lot of you have been asking for this, actually. I've had people say, well, you guys can do the Duke Nukem origin stuff and all that. And we will. We'll see
people
if it holds up.
People love the PC stuff, man. People love the PC. And we're going to just a little bit of console, PC, a little bit of everything. Pretty excited. Also, keep your eyes out for who knows what's going to happen with the Duke Nukem IP because it may be up for sale from the developer.
Yeah, so Embracer Group is going to either sell off or
they're trying
spin
to
out.
They're tightening the belts. They've been buying a lot of stuff the last couple of years. Yeah. They're tightening.
So they closed Volition, which really sucks.
Yeah.
Because they have made some amazing games in their time. They also are considering not closing but selling for $1.9 billion or something. Gearbox, the makers and publishers of Borderlands games, a ton of other stuff, and they currently own Duke Nukem. Will they sell that IP? Will they spin out on their own and be independent again and keep the IP? Mm-hmm. Is there any money to be made still in Duke Nukem? I'm not sure there is, to be honest. I think maybe we're past that point.
It could be a product of its time, right? It could just stand alone in the 90s pretty much and a little bit into the 2000s, and it might just be there where it dies.
I mean, I don't know if you played much of that Duke Nukem Forever, but it was a hot pile of shisa.
Yeah, it's definitely not a side scroller like the original Duke Nukem.
Hell no, I believe. Yeah, it hasn't
before
been
3D happened.
It hasn't been good since Duke Nukem 3D, which was excellent.
Yeah, excellent.
We'll talk about all that next week, right here on the show. In the meantime, please support us on Patreon, patreon.com/playretro. You'll never get commercials. You get pre-show content every week, and guess what else? Monthly benefits that you can only get when you're a member of that. And every once in a while, we put like stuff up on the Patreon that nobody else sees, like a video of Brian tearing something down or building something up, and then tearing it down again, whatever.
And tearing it down, then cursing and going, shit, I forgot to do this.
Yeah.
And then putting it all back together again.
It can happen. And we're going to make it happen for you. So sign up today at patreon.com/playretro. That is going to do it for today. We hope you guys have a fantastic week. And while you're at it, go play something retro. And we'll see you next time.
Nukem.
Get more at frogpants.com.
I am Evil Homer.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinas. I'm Kayla Itzinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.